morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Friday morning. We've got all your Thursday night action from the NBA right here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. That's Wozni Lambre. That's Brian Smith pushing buttons. Don't miss exclusive in-depth coverage of these unprecedented sports season. Subscribe now and save. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding. You can receive an all-access sub for just $3.99 a month. Plus, get yourself to the Athletic's YouTube channel right now. New episode of The Restricted Area, starring yours truly and your other yours truly, Wozni Lambre. We hit the rookie report. We play pretender or contender with the Warriors, the Celtics, and the Clippers. And we update you on some trade life right there. So make sure you check that out on the Athletic's YouTube channel. Coming up on today's show, we've got more games being postponed this weekend. The Raptors may have finally figured this thing out, and the Nuggets look good. But first, Woz, the post James Harden Rockets are perfect. Because they beat the Spurs 109-105 in San Antonio. First game for the Rockets since that James Harden trade. And Christian Wood was the man because he had to be. Well, that's because there was no John Wall. There's no Eric Gordon. Victor Oladipo's not there yet. Obviously, James is gone. Like, it was rough for that rotation. They only had nine guys available, played them all. But Waz, the Rockets come through there because Christian Wood had a huge night, 27 points, 15 rebounds, 3 blocks. He hit 5 of 7 threes. You know why? Because they had that dinosaur LaMarcus Aldridge on him. He can't recover to the three-point line.
You know, it's crazy. He's not great at stepping out to three to defend that part of the court when he's on defense. But he's also kind of like guys have no trouble attacking him around the basket either. Like, they don't feel like his contest is a serious one, but that's neither here nor there. I know Detroit Pistons fans aren't going to want to hear this, but the more I watch this guy Christian Wood in Houston, the more I'm just baffled, like, by the idea that he signed, you know, for the mid-level exemption. He comes out, he takes 7 threes, hits 5 of them, these 3 blocks, he's boarding up, so that means your defensive glass is taken care of. And you know, he's out-quicking guys. He's got a little dribble game to him, off-the-dribble face-up game to him. He just seems like a really fun, exciting young guy that, you know, Rockets fans should be proud to have. Another guy that caught my eye, Zach, and I know a lot of people on Twitter were commenting, Jayshon Tate, man.
Yes.
That guy plays with some force.
Yeah, he was good in this game. He had, what, 13 points, 10 assists, a spot start, obviously, with no John Wall there and really no lead guard at all. But Jayshon Tate was just aggressive. You're right, he plays with force. Like, he was just mixing it up, and you kind of see he was like, it was a lot of trial and error in the moment, but he looked pretty comfortable after a while, and he looked like he had, you know, variation to the speeds of the game and everything, and he was able to kind of use that to get in there and then kick it to the guys he needed to kick to.
Yeah, he's the kind of player like that in football they would describe him as has a nose for the ball, right? Like, he's just attacking at all times, and he's built like a tank, which is dope to watch. And another thing about this game, Zach, is an example of why every year League Pass is worth the money, right? James Harden gets traded. No Oladipo, no Eric Gordon, no John Wall. The Rockets just come out and play their butts off, right? Like, they're giving good energy, good effort. They're playing team ball, and the Spurs are the Spurs, right? They're a well-coached outfit, and they're going to run great stuff, and they play so many guards, and they're playing with a lot of energy and effort as well, and it's up and down. It was just a dope game to watch. DeRozan at the end, he gets PJ Tucker one-on-one, gets to his spot, creates a decent amount of separation, and the shot goes in and out. That's Jeff Van Gundy would say make a miss league stuff right there.
Absolutely on that. And it was a good look, right? It's his comfortable spot on the floor, as you mentioned. He got separation, and damn thing went halfway in and out. And then we had a couple of essentially meaningless free throws, unless it had something to do with the old betting line there. I'm not sure what the points were on that one, but you know, every once in a while I think, oh, those are meaningless points, and then I find out on Twitter, no, those were very important points to some very desperate people right there. Christian Wood, just to get back to him real quick, he kind of turned this game at one point because the Spurs were up 3. He gets a block on one end of the floor. The Spurs defense sinks in on the other end of the floor. He gets a wide open 3-pointer. And Wise, once again, I know it's going to sound like I'm killing LaMarcus Aldridge, but I can't.
Because you're killing LaMarcus Aldridge.
No. I wouldn't do that unless, I guess, I was playing against him, because this dude can't cover anybody anymore. But Wise, like, Aldridge, and it was like the second or third time he did it in this game, he jumped at the shot, except he was literally like at the restricted area circle. And Christian Wood's taking a top of the key three, so it looked like canned animation from a video game. Like, it just looked Like, it was the most meaningless shot contest.
Not how the Spurs drew it up.
Not quite, but it was that moment. Sterling Brown got a couple of layups, a couple of big points there to put them up four. And then, as you mentioned, DeRozan had the chance to tie it up at the end, but didn't go for him. Sterling Brown had 23 points in the start for Houston. For the Spurs side of it, Keldon Johnson continues to impress. He was fun last year. He was, you know, a nice little spark plug for them. He had 29.6 rebounds in this one. Another one of those guys where you're just like, how did the Spurs end up with this dude? Another end of the first round pick.
He looked incredible tonight. Looked like he belonged out there, getting big minutes. You know, they lose a guy like Bryn Forbes, who, again, that's nobody's favorite player, but he was getting, you know, 20 plus minutes a game, right, in the rotation. He was part of their regular rotation. And Keldon Johnson just steps into that role and just, you know, fills it ably. DeJounte Murray, he's having a decent year. He's always going to be a menace, a pest on a defensive end. But I'd like to see him take a step as far as, you know, getting into the lane, trying to draw some contact there, and just not being afraid to put it up. You know, I know that's not the nature of the team, but, you know, it's a young team. You're ostensibly supposed to be a part of this team's future. Put some shots up, bro.
Yeah, he does a lot, but I would like to say I do think he's got some talent as a scorer that he doesn't quite tap into there. He had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. DeRozan had 13 points on 5 of 14 shooting, but did have 7 assists and 6 boards despite that struggle to hit shots. It was the first road win of the season for the Rockets. Spurs shot just 29% from deep, and they're now 1-4 at home. But Waz, one more thing before we move on to the Warriors-Nuggets. I saw on Twitter, the Rockets account, official account, tweeted out a ladies' night advertisement for an upcoming game, and I just thought, read the room, guys. I know they're one of the few arenas, few teams taking home fans, and of course they are, because Tillman Fertitta, right? Of course they are. But not only is it like, hey, ladies' night, come on out. You got to get 4 tickets, 4 drinks, and it's sponsored by Tito's Vodka. But the funny part about the fine print on those 4 drinks, only beer and wine. You couldn't get Tito's Vodka
with that sponsored by Tito's, but only beer and wine.
Yes.
Wow. And
I just thought, like, this is perfect.
Wow.
You know, as much as I hate this advertisement during a pandemic, this is perfect at the same time.
Wow. That's like being sponsored by Taco Bell and only getting, like, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches or something. It's so weird, man.
It is weird.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Nuggets 114, Warriors 104 in Denver. This one felt like, to me, was that the Nuggets just knew, all right, Steph's going to go off. We keep the other dudes in check. We're too deep for the rest of them. And it was really in the first quarter and into the second quarter that Nuggets bench just was too much, and the Warriors just don't have the depth to hang with that team, even when they're shorthanded as they are with some of the guys missing time right now.
Yeah, they came out and they didn't get terribly destroyed in the first half against this unit with Pascal at the 5. They happened to get a couple of buckets themselves, but like defensively, they were just giving up layups, right? Like, okay, you guys happen to make some shots on your end of the floor, and that's great. But, you know, that shot quality as compared to Dozier just living at the rim against you, that like that's just not going to cut it. And watching this game, honestly, Zach, I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn, but watching this team in the preseason, I was like, look, they're not going to be world beaters on offense. They can't be. They have one elite shot creator and maker in Steph, right? Like, he's their, not that Draymond's not elite at creating, but because he's not a threat to shoot, his creation is just different. Right? Like, he could find guys, but it's got to be based off of a special set of circumstances. Whereas Steph, he presents so many threats, and he's a willing passer. He's just elite at that. But they don't possess that in any form anywhere else on the team. So they just can't be good at offense as a team because it's just Steph. And then defensively, right? Like, let's just say they were going to be like a Toronto last year. Not great at offense, but defensively, we put the screws to you and that's how we make our money. They're not going to be able to do that this year. They're not going to be able to guard playing a rookie center big minutes. And I think you saw that tonight. They kind of got used and abused defensively.
It's funny because the Nuggets numbers overall aren't all that impressive, but they were in control of this game. Like, Steph kept him close, right? Like, Steph had 35 points. He had 11 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He was sloppy with the ball, 7 turnovers, and a couple of just ugly, dumb turnovers late in that game when they were, you know, a little desperate to try to find a spark. But other than, like, you know, Jokic has 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, but they didn't shoot all that well as a team, right? 45%, that's fine. 29% from 3. They got to the free throw line a decent amount, you know, 27 times. They were sharing the ball, and they were in control. You have 7 different Nuggets players in double figures, but, like, Jamal Murray didn't have a great game.
And he's not even being aggressive. That's another thing. Is he's kind of just like, we're gonna score against this team. Like that's kind of the mindset. I remember, you know, against the Clippers and against the Lakers in the bubble, where Murray was just, he was on go from the whistle, right? From the tip off. And he just hasn't approached this season that way. And I understand, long season, 72 games, and they expect to be there in the playoffs, but they kind of don't need him to do that. When Jokic is just spraying the ball all over the place, when he's not just outright drop-stepping, jump-hooking fools and splashing jump shots and all of that.
It kind of felt like Jokic was just playing with his food.
Oh, man.
With James Wiseman, right? Like Wiseman tried, and he had a good stat line, right? He had 18 points in that game. Like, he was fine considering the disparity in talent between Wiseman and Jokic. And that's not a knock on Wiseman. Jokic is just that good, right? But, like, he just kind of was just kind of like, I'm going to bat this one around. I'll just kind of move this kid here. I'll move this kid here. Like, he just did whatever he wanted. Like, he was in complete control of that matchup. And you could see it in the desperation in which Draymond, who's trying to bring this team together defensively, he was just swarming Jokic the best he could, but then you swing the ball and there's just nothing you can do.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. And I think what was perfect was, I think the Warriors got it down to about like 9 or 10 points with about 2 minutes to go or something, 2.5 minutes. And Jokic is just like, all right, everybody go to the freaking corner, 3-point line. He's yelling at people like, yo, move, 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 move. Me and Jamal are just going to run a pick and roll. They run a pick and roll at the top of the key, like way above the 3-point line. Jamal gets going downhill, gets fouled, pushed in the back by Oubre. And that's it. It's like, when we need to get a look that we like, we can absolutely do it against this team. And that's what you saw all night.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Nuggets, like, look, Waz, they look pretty bleak the first couple weeks. I don't want to judge their defense based on
this game. I told you this team was a contender, boy.
Yeah, I still don't believe that. But they are playing a lot better basketball. They look a lot more comfortable in their skin. You know, they still got to go on the road a bunch. They look better. They look more controlled, more calmed down than what we saw in the first couple of weeks.
You know what's so funny? And them and the Clippers will always be inextricably linked because of that meltdown. But there's just a certain sense of calm and confidence that comes with going through a deep playoff run and overcoming some adversity together, right? Like, not that these guys have all come from different places and have done it on different teams where they had to step up and play off situations in big games. They've done it together. So that collective confidence and will to succeed is there. It's so present, and it's just so not when we watch other teams. That's why I'm just like, it's early season. The Nuggets, their offense is so like, it's just a mind meld at this point, where every guy knows where the other guy is going. And you know what I do like too? JaMychal Green, who's a new addition, he's getting into the mix. He's doing duck-ins into the paint, cutting, doing all types of stuff. He just shot open threes on the Clippers last year. He wasn't a part of this, you know, movement, flow type of offense type of thing, because that just wasn't what the Clippers did last year. And he's just fitting right in seamlessly. So I think they're just one of the best offenses in the league when they want to be, and I'm just not worried about this team.
You know what that new addition, JaMychal Green's job is when he comes off the bench and they're running kind of hot? Cool It Now. It's a new addition song. No? That's no good? All right, let's go to the news. News from the NBA that you need for Friday. The NBA has postponed Suns Pacers on Saturday due to the Suns not having enough guys. I think that's like the seventh or eighth game this week that has been postponed. So the league has definitely cracked down with their contact tracing. And then we have a little fallout with some words from this James Harden trade. According to Mark Spears, the Undefeated, Ben Simmons is ecstatic to not have been traded for James Harden. So that's good, right? That's one of those rumors where it sounded like the Sixers had say, hey, you can have Ben Simmons. And the Rockets like, ah.
Respect. Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. And Ben Simmons is happy about that, right? He wants to be there. He thinks that they can win a title. So there you go.
By the way, Zach, before you move on, I respect that. I admire Ben Simmons' ability to be extremely professional right there and be like, this is part of the game. I'm happy that I'm still here as a Sixer. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm going to come in here and work my butt off and make sure things happen for this team.
Eric Gordon said the Rockets have real direction now that James Harden trade is resolved. This was his quote in a Zoom meeting for a shoot around. By the way, he was the only member of the organization made available to the meeting during the shoot around. Usually you get a few of those guys. He said, obviously you could tell from the summer and since the season started that he didn't want to be here. For us, I think it just gives us a chance to have a real direction. Everyone else on the team can hone in, not worry about his situation. We can just move forward. Speaking of moving forward, Sean Marks, GM for the Nets, who made that trade for James Harden, said that he didn't have to broach the subject of touches and making it work on the floor with Harden. KD and Kyrie, instead, they brought it up to him. This is what he said.
Right. They're about to be the new Spurs, man. Timmy, Manu, and Tony, brother. Don't you know that? The beautiful game
That's
is about to
gonna
happen.
Be. Yeah, even though Chuck dubbed them what? The Dribble Brothers instead of the Splash Brothers? Sean Marks said, at the end of the day, that's what we need to hear. Each one of these guys is capable of, you know, leading a team, being the star player on a team, and so forth. And, you know, there will be nights when each one has the opportunity. Maybe two or three have that opportunity on any night. And according to him, James Harden told him, I want to win. I'm all about winning. Other games from Thursday. Sixers wallop the Heat once again, 125-108 in Philadelphia. Heat still without Jimmy Butler. No Goran Dragic. No Bam Adebayo. No Avery Bradley. Ben Simmons had 10 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. And Shake Milton had 31 off the bench for the Sixers in the win. Raptors 111, Hornets 108 in Tampa Bay. Raptors survive a 12-point fourth quarter, Waz. 12-point fourth quarter, but still hang on for the win. Miles Bridges missed an open three-pointer that would have tied it on the final possession. Chris Boucher having a strong year, man. 25 points, 10 rebounds off the bench, had a couple other blocks as well. And then Pacers 111, Blazers 87 in Portland. Domantas Sabonis with 23 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. They used a 33-10 second quarter to kind of break this one open, but was bad news for the Blazers, you know, not just that loss. Nurkic fractures his wrist. We don't know how long he's going to be out as of right now.
Yeah, they just can't catch a break as far as big man luck. Nurkic missed so much of last season, finally comes back in the bubble, looks great. He was playing well to start this season and goes down again. Of course, Zach Collins has already been out and is going to be out after missing basically all of last season. So that's their two big men. And so that's tough. That's just tough for the Blazers in their rotation. They were planning on doing big things this year, possibly contending for top four in the West. It's going to be a lot harder to do that now.
Yeah, the defense was already struggling. No, Nurkic is going to make that tougher, but they still have Enes Kanter. You know, Robert Covington's got some experience playing the five last year. You can piece something together, Waz, you know, maybe. No? Harry Giles, does that interest you?
What, they're going to go micro ball?
They might not have a choice we'll at this point. We can see a little big man mellow there.
Well, I always hear the big man market is the easiest, cheapest place to find quality big. So we'll see if that theory holds true.
There's always a Zeller or Plumlee on the market that's available. I know that. That's going to do it for today's show, though. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you check out the Athletic NBA show. Nerdish She Wrote coming up on Friday. No Dunks, House of Strauss, team-specific shows to get all your favorite updates and analysis in podcast form. Also, again, check out the restricted area on the Athletics YouTube channel with myself and Wozni Lambre. Have a fun one this week with the Rookie Report.
Go watch that now, y'all.
It's good. The production from our guy Corey, our guy Lucas, and of course Jade Hoy. Oh my God. The production on that thing is amazing. I mean, Woz, we're great, but the production is almost equally
as
good.
Well, yeah, we're really good. That's why they pay us the big
exactly.
bucks,
exactly.
Come on.
And don't forget to get that subscription to The Athletic, theathletic.com/dailyding. Thanks for waking up with us. Please stay safe, stay inside, stay away from people. And Woz, hit me with that sign-off.
Ding, ding, ding-dongs.